Blog Talk Radio.
Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, at Miracle Temple, where Christ lives in me.
Welcome to Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Apostle Amanda Walker Bryant wants to make sure you get all that you need through the Word of God. Let us join Apostle Bryant as she teaches the infallible Word of God.
I want you to look at Mark, the second chapter with me. Mark, the second chapter. How many in here are lovers of the Word? How many today know that the Word will keep you? If we want to be kept, the Word will keep us. Amen. Mark, the second chapter, beginning at verse 1. Mark, the second chapter, beginning at verse 1. And the word reads, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lie." I want to talk about today, press in. Press in. Press in. Press in means to squeeze into. It means to press on all sides. And this is what God is saying to the body of Christ. Though you go through many things, God wants you to press in. There's a pressing, and there's a saying that says there's a blessing in the pressing. So we have to, in the body of Christ, begin to press in. As you see here, Jesus entered back into Capernaum. And when they heard that he was there, now he was there for some days. But when they heard that he was there, that's what that noise means. It means that they heard he was there. The people start coming in. They start gathering. So evidently it was something that Jesus had that they know that they needed. And this is how it should be in the body of Christ. We press because we know that there's something that he has that we need. And the thing is, he's already given it to us. But I'm here to tell you that the things that he's already given us, we're going to have opposition in obtaining them. Why? Because the enemy don't want us to obtain what God has. Why? Because in him there is life, and there is life more abundantly. In his word, there's healing, there's deliverance, there's prosperity. Everything you need is in him. And this is why the enemy makes it so hard to press into the things of God. As long as you're on this earth, and when you accept him as your Lord and Savior, there's going to be a press. There's going to be a press. You can't get by it. You can't get around it, because the enemy is going to press. He's going to make you bring opposition. But the more you press in, you recognizing that I'm going to get what he has for me. It reminds me of Jacob. When Jacob wrestled with that angel all night long, he wrestled to the point of that his hip was out of joint. It was out of place. And imagine your hip hurting, but you still wrestling. And the reason why he was wrestling, he said, "I'm not going to turn you loose until you bless me." Because he knew there was a blessing in his pressing. The body of Christ have given up on the things of God. From what I see, you press more into the things of the world than you do for the things of God. You press in, you make your way. Have you ever heard somebody say, "I pressed my way through. I didn't feel like doing it, but I pressed my way through. my way through. I didn't feel like going to work this morning, but I pressed my way through. I didn't feel like going to help nobody, but I pressed my way through. But when it comes to the house of God, there's no pressing no more. You don't want to press for the things of God. You want to press more for the things of the world. And when you do that, the enemy knows I got a hold on you. Because your press, he knows there's a blessing in your pressing. So he got to oppose you when it comes to the things of God. How many know when you get into the word of God, it's just like opposition come all the way around. That's when you got to press your way through. When it's on every side, you got to keep pressing, knowing that there's a blessing in the pressing. So these people heard about Jesus. When you hear something good about somebody and you know they have something that you need, you will press your way. You will press your way to get what you need. Some of us may be low on cash, and somebody may say, well, I got some extra hours for you, and your body don't feel like working those extra hours, but you look at your situation, and then you look at the extra hours, you look back at your situation, then you look at the extra hours, and you begin to get out the bed, you begin to talk to yourself and say, self, you can make it. We're going to press our way through, because that bill got to be paid, so I'm going to press my way through that thing. Some of us may be on this ritual of exercise, on diet, or changing our habits of doing this and doing that. The body don't want to do it because the body is used to eating 4 and 5 pork chops. The body is used to eating pig feet. The body is used to eating all this rice and all this all kind of food. But when the doctor gives you a negative report, you press your way through. You shift your eating habits. You begin to walk more. You begin to do things more because you're saying, if I don't do it, I won't live a long life. But when it comes to the word of God, I'm here to tell you, the Bible says, who report are you going to believe? So no matter what the negative report is, you're going to say, God, I'm going to stand. I'm going to do all the stand. Even though my body is racked in pain, God, I'm going to press my way through because I know by his stripes I will already heal. So the thing is, if we as Christians are not presenting this good news concerning the kingdom of God, nobody don't want to come to what you got. Nobody want to, press through. But when they hear, just like these people, they heard that Jesus was back in town. And when they heard that Jesus was back in town, he was in this certain house. It was no room in the house, not even room at the door. They began to crowd him on every side. Why? Because they say, it's something he has that I need. And I'm going to give you an illustration. Manny, stand here in the middle for me. I need about 15 people. Stand kind of up close, Manny. Yeah. Go a little further. Gather all around him. Press in. Give me some more people. Mitch, I need you for the illustration. Now, you see all these people are gathering around this man, right? We're going to say this man is Jesus. And they're so pressed in because it's nowhere else to go to get to him. But they're so pressed in because they're saying that I'm going to get what I come for. I'm not going to let nobody stop me from getting to Jesus. So here's this man right here. And this man is going through. And he knows there's no way I can get to Jesus. He's pressed on every side. But he know what he need and he know he has what he need. What are you going to do, Mitch? It's going to be some opposition, but he's going to press his way. He's going to make sure he gets what he needs. Is that not right? That's what it means by pressing. You're going to move everything out your way and say, I'm getting mine today. I'm going to ask you a question. What's stopping you? Nobody but you. Because when you know that the doctors can't help you, see, we don't press our way to him until we hear there's no help for us, Julia. We don't press our way to get to church until we hear I can't do nothing else for you. And no matter how bad you feel, you're pressing your way into the house of God because you're saying, now man can't help me, so I have nobody but God. Why did God have to be on the back burner, Sister Phyllis? Why did God have to be the last one? there's a blessing in your presence. So they knew that he had, thank y'all, what they needed, what he needed. So they pressed their way through to get to him. God is saying today in this house, there's no pressing for God. Because when there's pressing for him, you deny yourself. That means you deny what you want to do, when you want to do it, and how you want to do it. And you say, I'm going to press my way. Even though I don't feel like it, I'm going to press my way. As you notice here, when these men was bringing this man that was paralyzed and he was on a bed, they were carrying this man. By the time they got to Jesus, can you imagine? Everything around them was so crowded. There was no way for them to get to Jesus, but they didn't give up. Because I believe they said, I didn't come this long ways for nothing. I didn't carry this man bed for nothing. All of us are in agreement, and we believe that by his stripes, he was already healed. So I know if I can just get to the word, then I'm going to be healed. So what they did when they looked at how crowded it was, they went and took this man on the roof. Now, the thing that they had to do on the roof was, it was tiles on that roof. They had to dig their way through it. Now, come on now. They already told this man on the bed. They had to dig their way through the roof to lower this man. They made sure, I'm not giving up. Because I know that there's something that this man has for him today. So they dig their way through the roof. They lowered the man down to Jesus. And what did Jesus see? The Bible said when he saw their faith. Jesus ain't seeing the faith that you have in him. Because if you have faith in him, you will press your way through the headache and say, God, Tylenol ain't my healer. You're my healer. So yet, though my head is pounding and it's easy to pull a Tylenol, it's easy to pull Advil, it's easy to pull Motrin, God, I'm going to press my way through medication because you're all the medication that I need. I'm pressing my way through because your words say, by Jesus Christ, I was already healed. So I'm going to press through the pounding and know I have authority over it, and I'm going to rebuke it in Jesus' name. I'm pressing my way through. See, pressing your way through means that you don't give up based on how you feel. See, our problem is we go on our he motions and she motions, and we're not going on the real deal, which is the word of God. See, the word of God is truth. This is why he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He said, sanctify them in truth, for thy word is true. What does that mean, sanctify? Set them apart in truth. See, when I know the truth, I'm set apart because of the truth. I'm in the world, but I don't do like the world does. So the first thing that you got to do is hear about Jesus. You got to hear the good news. And I'm going to tell you what the good news is. The good news is you don't have to work it out for yourself. The good news is he's already worked it out for you. The good news is you don't have to try to be holy. You are holy because of his holiness and not because of your own. The good news is he ain't looking at the outside. He's looking at the inside. And Jesus already made the way for you to go to the Father. It's not by your works or any good thing that you have done. It's about what he has done. Now, who wouldn't want to press their way to Jesus? Because I know I can't do it myself. I know that everything about me ain't good. It is because of the goodness and the mercy of Jesus Christ that I stand here. Nothing that I do is good. All my righteousness is in him. And when I hear about a man who knew no sin, who became sin for me, which was a sinner, who wouldn't want to press their way through? When you hear about a man who died for a murderer that did commit the sin, who wouldn't want to press their way through? Because he has eternal life. And eternal life means it's a life that ceases not to exist. It's an everlasting life. See, even when you're dead and you accepted Jesus, you're going to live on forever. So who would not want to press their way through when you get into a man that has everything that you need. He has everything, prosperity. He has healing. He has deliverance. He has joy. He has peace. He has everything that you need. But the problem is people are not hearing about what he's already done. What people are hearing about is what you got to do. See, some people say you got to change before you come in the house of God. I'm here to tell you just go ahead to hell, because ain't no way that you can change to be accepted by Jesus. He made the change for you so you can accept the change, which is Jesus. So anybody who tells you that you can't wear makeup, you can't do, now let me express myself clearly. We don't want no Jezebels in the house of the Lord. Anything that draw attention to you ain't about God. Anything that draw attention to you is not about God. But I'm here to tell you, when you hear about what he done on that cross, when you hear that he was the sacrificial lamb that died on your behalf, even when you wasn't worth dying for. Because the Bible says he commended his love for you. He proved his love for you, even yet while you was a sinner. He died for you. What does that mean? Even when you were out there cursing, when you were out there drinking, when you were out there on drugs, when you were out there doing what you were doing, he already paid the price for you. He said, I have already done everything that needs to be done. The only thing you have to do is accept what I have done. See, I want you to understand the problem ain't sin. He dealt with sin over 2,000 years ago. Sin was keeping you from coming to the Father. So he had to do away with sin through his blood so you can be able to approach the Father through him and not through you. So sin ain't what's keeping you from heaven. Sin ain't what's sending you to hell. It's you rejecting Jesus. See, people get it wrong. They're thinking, well, I can't be accepted because I still smoke. Well, I can't be accepted because I prostitute. I can't be accepted because I'm a drug addict. I can't be accepted because I'm a murderer. That's what people tell you. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus took the murder. He took the drugs. He took the prostitution. He took everything that you can even imagine that you would ever do in this life and forgave you for it, past, present, and your future. See, this is why when we come to him, we have to realize I am forgiven, not going to be forgiven. So if you never forgive me for what I've done, I know who has already forgiven me, and his name is Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only one that can get me to God, not you and not nobody else. So quit worrying about what man see. See, Jesus already seen it all. That's why he took it to the cross. He said, I'm taking everything about you. I'm taking it with me to the cross. I'm taking your past failures. I'm taking what you would even do today with me to the cross. He said, you know why? Because I don't want no excuse for you to say this held you from God. He said, because I'm doing away with all of this. Some of y'all right now are guilty, and you're feeling wrong. You're trying to feel, how can I work this out for myself? You can't work out what's already been worked out. You can't change what's already been changed. See, everything that has happened has already happened. It was already written. You can't change that. Only thing you can do is acknowledge, God, I was wrong for what I did. This is why the Bible says that you confess your sin. Why do you do it? Not because of your spirit. Because when you become born again, your spirit is the real you. That's the part of you that's perfected. That's the part of you that was sealed until the day of redemption. The part that you are confessing is dealing with the soul. Why? So the devil won't have inroad into your life in your soulish area. He know he can't touch your spirit. Because the spirit belongs to God. He can't touch that. But he's after your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's why the Bible says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Whatever he can get you to think on the most is what you're going to become, and that's what you're going to end up doing. But when you know what the word of God says, that's why you got to hear it. Be hearers. And as you be hearers, you become doers. But if nobody's never telling you truth, then you're going to continue to live on a lie. And this is what people are living on. They're living on lies. Why? Because this is what they hear. People twist the word and say, you got to be the church. You got to do this. You got to pay your tithes. That was done away with Jesus. All of these things that I'm doing it because I love him and I know he first loved me. I'm not doing it because man tell me to do it. I'm doing it because I've been in the good book to tell me who I am now that I'm in Christ. If I'm doing it because a man is telling me to do it, I don't need to do it because I'm not rewarded for what I do. See, man tell you this because they're preaching self-righteous. They're preaching based on what they wrote. God said that his word shall not be altered. It shall not be changed. You can't add to it, and you can't take away from it. His word is what it is. He said, my covenant, and I want you to hear this. He said, I will not break. Nor alter the things that have come out of my lips. What does that mean? That means that what God told me yesterday is still the same if I messed up today. That means that God is not going to change his mind because I'm not obedient to his word. That means whatever he had written about me is going to stay the same until I get to the place that God wants me to be. Don't let people fool you. And this is what get me. Somebody do something wrong and they got to put him before the church. What do I mean by putting them before the church? Now, I ain't talking about having ought against your brother. That's a different subject. I'm talking about if a woman pop up pregnant. They got to put the woman before the church. And the woman got to say, I'm sorry that I committed fornication. Yeah, I laid with the man. I'm sorry. No, once she go to God and say, God, you already knew I was going to lay with that man. You already knew that that man was married before I laid with him, and I knew the same. But I know you are a forgiving God. I know you are a merciful God. So I'm going to turn, and I'm going to have a change of heart and a change of mind for what I've done. And if anybody asks me to stand before somebody and repent, I'm going to say, you're not God. Because that's not what my word says. God forgave me of my sin. He put it in the sea of forgetfulness, and he don't remember it no more. So why are you asking me to stand before a man to be justified? I was justified before I accepted Christ. Ask your neighbor. Say, neighbor, where did that stuff come from? Who put that out like that? See, that's why people need to read. And you can't read without the help of the Holy Ghost. See, people tell you that passed away with the apostles. That's a lie. Because Jesus said, I'm going to be with the Father. He wasn't only talking about the apostles. He was talking to all of us. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. Because guess what? The Holy Ghost represented Jesus. So when Jesus was on the earth with his disciples, they trusted him. They went to him. They asked him questions that they didn't know. So he said, I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you a paraclete. I'm going to send you someone to walk alongside you. I'm going to send you someone to assist you. I'm going to send you someone that's going to be your lawyer. I'm going to send you someone that whatever trouble you in, only thing you got to say is, Holy Ghost, I need your assistance. Holy Ghost, I don't know what to do about this, but I know you know because you only testify of what Jesus has said. So I need you to bring back to my remembrance on what he said. And if you ain't in the word of God to know what he said, you ain't going to get no clear answer. So, I'm still talking about they heard about Jesus' apostle. And they had to hear something good for all of them to press in like sardines like that. See, the problem is, this is where the opposition is. When someone hears something good about a minister, and how they're carrying the word, and how they're changing people's lives through the word, because it's not them. It's the word of God that God allowed them to use for him. So they're being a mouthpiece for God. When someone hear about that and they're talking about that, don't you know that the devil has somebody in the midst to twist the word and say, dang what the word says. I don't know where they got that from. They're all out of order. Didn't you know a woman don't supposed to preach anyway? What you in the church with a woman for anyway? She don't even supposed to be behind the pulpit. Can I tell y'all something? This is just a platform. That was built, because see, some people are short anyway. So they had to stand up above the congregation. If somebody step on it, oh, that's holy. Holy. It ain't the platform, it's me that's holy. And I'm holy because of him. This is just a building that we come into in fellowship one with another. You're the church. So if people are making this platform God, then it's an idol. You want to respect the platform, but you don't want to make this platform holy. Because once the person steps off the platform, it's the platform. I went to a church, and they had a remembrance table. It says, this do in remembrance of me. So as I was ministering, I leaned on it. And as I leaned on it, the Holy Ghost gave me a message and said, ain't the table that's holy. It's the God that's in me that's holy. Them people thought I lost my mind. No, I have the mind of Christ. See, I'm trying to change the way you're thinking. See, because I want you to understand, the law brings you to Christ. The law lets you see your sinful self. The law lets you see that you can't do it, that you have to accept him to get in. Not rituals. See, people are still going up under the law. He said, I did not come to do away with it. He said, I come to fulfill what you couldn't fulfill. That's why when he died, he said, it is finished. See, some of you are still so much under law, you feel like I got to pray longer. I got to talk in tongues longer. I got to do this and I got to do that for God to heal me. I'm here to tell you, he's already healed. Jesus didn't take all them blows on the cross and all them stripes for you to be sick. The Bible said he was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. And the chastisement of who peace was upon who? Him, our peace. And by his stripes, I were already healed. That means I don't have to pay $50 and $100 to be healed. That's why when you hear about Jesus and you hear about what he's done, you won't get in a $100 line to get a touch. Some of you ain't heard. Because I'm not going to pay nobody $100 just to lay their nasty hands on me. That's already been purchased. That's already been paid for. I'm not going to pay from a touch from God when the power of God resides in me. Evidently, somebody already did it. God don't mention something not unless you already done it. See, any preacher that's asking you to do something outside of the word, that ain't God. Because if he's already done it, why are they trying to do something to get it done? It's already done. So God is saying today, when you hear the truth, see, these people heard the truth and they say, no matter what's in my way, I'm going to press into it. I'm going to press into it. No matter how people talk about me, I know where the truth is. I'm going to press into it. No matter how people watch what church I go to, I'm going to press in because I know where the truth is.
Thank you for tuning in to our broadcast on today. If you have a testimony on how this broadcast has truly blessed your life, please call us at 866-907-6836. If you would like a copy of the teaching in its entirety, you may contact us at 866-9-6836. You may write us at Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 1042, Burgall, North Carolina, 28425. Visit us on the Internet at www.mtdm.org. Welcome to Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Apostle Amanda Walker Bryant wants to make sure you get all that you need through the Word of God. Let us join Apostle Bryant as she teaches the infallible Word of God.
He has already worked it out, no matter what it looked like, no matter what it appears to be. I'm here to tell you God has already fixed it. So that's don't look in the natural. God wants you to look in the supernatural, and he wants you to see what he's already done. Come out the natural and get into the supernatural. And as you get into the supernatural, you can bring it in the natural by faith. Amen? Turn with me to St. John, the first chapter, and I'm going to begin at verse 29. St. John, the first chapter, beginning at verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. I want to talk on today, how are you introducing Christ? How are you introducing Christ? Meaning that how is Christ being made known through you. When the Lord had given me this message, and I began to meditate on what the Lord was saying, he would give me different examples on introductions. You know, we introduce a lot of people, and we cannot introduce those people based on hearsay and she say. We have to introduce those people based on what we know about that particular individual. Sometimes we will go on what other people say, but if you spend time with that person, with that individual, you will have your own introduction of that person. And that introduction that you make, people will know that you know that person. You have been with that person because it's heartfelt. Anyone can take a piece of paper and read off of that paper what someone says about themselves. But once you come in contact with that person, you're going to know everything that needs to be known about that person through spending time with that person. The Lord was showing me, even me and my husband, and he was showing me, how do you introduce your husband? If I come up to people and I say, this is James, that's all they would know about him. They would say, okay, this is James. But if I say, this is my husband, James Bryant, he's known as my husband. But then if I keep on with that introduction, I'll say, here is my loving husband. Here is the love of my life, James Bryant. The more introduction I give of my husband, the more they know how I honor him, how I respect him, how close we are, how connected we are. And when God gave me that thing, he was impressing in my spirit, most people get more introduction than he does. And that's how you tell who you've been with the most. If I'm introducing my husband more than I'm introducing Christ, that means that I have spent so much time with him that I'm forgetting who saved me, who laid down their life for me. That's how idols get set up around us, because we make people, we make things idols, and we begin to introduce those things, but when it comes to Jesus, we pull back because we say we don't know what to say about him. The reason why we don't know what to say about him, because we have not been with him. See, it's one thing just to be born again saying I'm missing hell, but it's another thing to have intimacy with the Father and spend time with him, so when you come up on people, they know who you've been with, not only by what you say, but by how you act, how you react, how you talk, and how you smell. People say, smell? Yeah, there's a sweet aroma when you've been with Jesus. There's such a sweet aroma that people know who you've been with last night. So this is what God is saying. How are you introducing Jesus? How are you introducing Jesus to others? You cannot introduce him the way that you need to introduce him unless you've been with him. See, here goes John the Baptist. And we know that John and Jesus, they were kin, right? But John had never saw Jesus. You know, John was in Elizabeth's womb when Mary became pregnant. John was in there for 6 months. So they never really saw one another. So when John saw him coming, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." See, John knew him as the Lamb of God. And when you look at that lamb, you know that John had to know that he was the Lamb of God. And if we read further in Scripture, we will know how John knew that he was the Lamb of God. First of all, we know that lamb was slain for our sins. That lamb was Jesus, who knew no sin, who became sin for us so we could become the righteousness of God, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21. So we understand that Jesus had no sin, but he laid down his life for us. And this is where God's mercy come in. Y'all, God's mercy is not getting what we deserve. That means that he withheld punishment on our behalf. That means that when a person committed murder, God withheld that punishment, and that murderer actually didn't get what he deserved. What did he deserve? He deserved death, because the wages of sin is death. So the penalty was death. So when we look at God's mercy, and we see how God was so good to us, even when we didn't deserve it, but yet God came along after mercy. He gave us some grace. What did grace do? Grace is giving us what we did not deserve. That means it's like a judge in a courtroom. That judge acquitted that criminal. And after he acquitted the criminal, he said, "I'm going to reward you with $1 million. Come on, somebody. He didn't deserve $1 million, but because of the love of God, he didn't only justify us. He didn't only make the slate clean. He said, "But I'm going to give you grace to go along with my mercy." Meaning that my mercy is going to endure, Tony, forever and ever. It's going to be everlasting. He said, "I'm going to do all of this for you, yet you did not deserve it. And I'm doing it because I love you so, so much. I'm doing it outside of what you've done. I'm doing it not because you're good." Because the Bible said none of us are good, none of us are righteous, but God loved us so much, he gave his very best. That was mercy. And then, come on, grace came in and gave us healing, gave us every good thing that comes from God, even while we were yet in our sin. He said, "I'm going to give you new mercies every morning," meaning that your past, your present, and future sins, he said, "I already done took care of that. Jesus already died for that." So every day you get some new mercy, because I know you're going to mess up in this day. I know you're going to do something that you don't need to do. He said, "So I'm going to give you that." Isn't God so good? And here we are as Christians acting like we don't know about that mercy. Because when somebody do us wrong, we hold grudges. I'm here to tell you that if God held a grudge, none of us would be here. God gave us his love. It's a love that no matter what I do, no matter what I say, God ain't changing. He's not going to change his mind. So when John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world," John knew that none of them could do it on their own. He said, "This is the Lamb that's going to lay down his life for you, even when you don't deserve it. God is giving you mercy. He's giving you something that you do not deserve." And that's enough for us to say, "Thank you, Jesus." So see, when we know God's mercy, when we know his goodness, when we know his loving kindness, when we know his faithfulness, we will turn away from what we're doing that's not like God. And it reminded me of Moses. Moses knew God acts, but Moses didn't know God ways. But it was a day that came when Moses said, "God, show me your glory." He said, "I need to know your way. I know your acts, God, but I need to know your way." And God said, "Moses, I'm going to allow all my goodness to pass before you." And what he mean was God was showing him his characteristics. He was showing him his mercy. He was showing him his loving kindness. He said, "I'm going to let all of this pass before you, Moses." So Moses got to know God's ways, not only his ways, but his acts. How many of us know we can see the power of God, but that's meaningless unto us until we get to know who God really is? until we get to know his ways. And then when we see a miracle, we can appreciate that miracle more because we're saying, I didn't even deserve to live. But because of God's love, because of his goodness, because of his mercy, that's why I'm here today. So John knew, behold, the Lamb of God. It was a lot to that when John said that, because John made him known by the Lamb of God. He was introduced to them. He said, this is the one that's going to save you from your sins. But the thing that got me in the next verse, after John had said this, he said, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. God got me on this verse because God said, he introduced me as the Lamb of God, but this is what John had to do to bring that introduction to life. John had to forget about John. See, the problem is we're saying we're introducing Jesus, but we're in the picture. We want people to see us, hear us, and be attached to us because there's rejection in there. But John said right here in the Word of God, he is preferred before me. This is why John said in St. John, the third chapter, he said, I must decrease where he must increase, meaning that John says he's greater than I am.